This episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Learning, the online learning platform with thousands of expert-led video tutorials to help you build your business, tech, and creative skills. For a free 30-day trial, visit linkedin.com/TMS and start learning more today. That's linkedin.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, esports and pizza.
Yum. I escaped the room.
Oh, well, in two different ways, really. That's what's great about that statement.
Oh, hi, Scott.
Oh, hi, Brian. Major spoilers.
The Trek Nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
In this film, we will discuss the principles of operation of the hydraulic steering system.
That robot has developed a severe guilt complex.
This is The Morning Stream, and we're gonna need a bigger boat.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is the morning stream for Monday, January 15th, 2018. Somebody restart Scott. He's broken. He's not working right. Sorry. It's the 15th of January. It's 2018. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hi, Brian.
It's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yeah, Milk Day is what my daughter says. Yeah,
Milk Day.
Celebrate it however you celebrate it. That's fantastic. My kids are out of school and they're kind of hanging around, so that probably means a bunch of Overwatch while I'm trying to get work done, and nice. Other things like that. So, yeah, it's a good day.
It's so hard for me not to do the Tommy Wiseau laugh, like I'm doing it unconsciously now. You know, the whole, like fake.
It's because you forced yourself to watch The Room twice.
I watched it twice in a 4-day period. Watched it Wednesday and then watched it with you guys Saturday morning.
That's horrendous. That's a horrible thing to do to yourself. I can't believe you did that. That's amazing. You did it for science.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the drawback to doing this is that I'm slowly kind of turning around on it. I still think it's a garbage movie.
Yeah, of course. It's absolutely garbage.
There's parts of it that really make me happy. There's the whole introduction of some guy named Chris R.
Mm-hmm.
When there's never been any other Chris in the film.
Yeah.
To get us confused. Yep. Oh, hi, Chris R.
Yeah. There's everything. Here's what I would do to that movie to make it better.
Yeah.
I would go and I would excise everything that doesn't have him in it. First of all, Tommy needs to be in every scene. There's way too many scenes where he's not there. Have him in every single scene. Just cut, edit your film to be nothing but him going, "You're tearing me apart. Oh, hi, Mark," like that. And just have it be that all the way to the end where, spoiler, things go down all the way to that. That's a better movie.
So you're saying, like, take out the whole chocolate infused sex subplot?
Yeah.
B story?
Remove the B story. Also remove the sex scenes. They're stupid. Take those out of there. And all it is just his dialogue. That's all I want. I want him saying things.
You don't want to see Tommy Wiseau or Wizzo. I guess Randy told us it's pronounced Wizzo.
He says he prefers Wizzo, and so
dry humping Lisa's stomach.
Yes, please. Could we take that out? Because that was very uncomfortable. I didn't like any of that.
Lesarge, it is streaming on YouTube. You can go watch it on YouTube. I think you even put a link somewhere, didn't you, Scott?
I got it last night, but I haven't put it up yet. So I will, though, today. It'll be part of the post on the FilmSack page, as well as cool. I'll put it on Twitter. Because some people are having a hard time finding it. I thought it'd be easy to search for it and get it, but apparently it's not. So it is freely streaming there. It's a high-quality version, too. It's like, that looked like HD, what we were watching, to me.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're going to get some poopy, you know, oversized one or the sound's off or something like that. It seems like legit.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's that was a fun time. I really enjoyed that. Brian had the brilliant idea. He's like, you know, I saw this in the theater, guys. In fact, almost like right after you left, you texted us and said.
It was as we were walking to the car from the theater.
Yeah, and you go, guys, I think we have to live sack this. We have to watch along.
Just so much stuff.
Yeah, I agree. It worked out the way it should have. So, and it actually was better for me because up till Friday night, I was still fevery and had all kinds of flu issues, and I would have been miserable watching that the night before. But from Saturday morning on, pretty much, I felt great. So,
good. Well, maybe it helped. It was the hot sweats, we sweated out the bacteria with a little viewing of The Room.
Might have worked, yeah, because by about noon Saturday, I was like almost 100%. And I'm not left with some gnarly cough or any of those things that you usually get with a long-term flu thing. So I think it was just one of these, like, bring you low, give you the fever, throaty business, voice jacked up stuff, and then poof, it decides to leave. It was the most, like, rude leaving a virus has ever made with me. It just got up and left.
In, like, a lion out like a lamb or something.
Yeah, and didn't say goodbye or anything. It just got the H out.
Irish, oh, it did the Irish goodbye.
Yeah. Is that what that's called? Is that what that is?
That's what that's called. I heard that term for the first time from Tom Merritt, I think at BlizzCon?
Yeah.
We were talking about this, or when was it?
Might have been. I have a memory of overhearing this, so maybe it was BlizzCon. I don't know.
It must have been what it was, but yeah, the basically an Irish goodbye is just walking out, not even saying goodbye or I'll see you later, anything like that. It's just.
So are you saying my phone ending habits are technically an Irish goodbye? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, they are. Actually, they are. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm down with this. I've got a term for it now. And tough boobs, everybody. That's what I do. I hang up quick. It's all just the way it is. So I did some other fun stuff this weekend. Saturday, like I said, I was feeling way better. And it turns out that night, which is really good timing, because Kim was throwing a surprise birthday party for her friend, who was turning the big 5-0. And it was like, I want to make a big deal out of it. Black balloons everywhere, you know, the whole get up. Kim made some cake and had all this food there. And
oh, did those balloons say over the hill?
No, we avoided that trope.
Yeah. Okay.
We didn't do that because I would have been annoyed, I think, and Kim knew it. So.
Seeing as we're only like a year away from it, a year and a half away from that. Good.
Yeah. She also mixed it with gold ones, so there was gold and black. And so it was like, I don't know what that means, but apparently that's a sign of like, oh, it's your golden years or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, golden anniversary. Well, yeah, it's an anniversary. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Good. Whatever it is. So. Her and her husband showed up. We had this all arranged so that they didn't know it was a surprise. We had the house packed with like 50 people. And they came in, bruh, surprise! And she cried and was all happy and everything was great. Okay, so as soon as all that starts kicking off, people are getting food. And I'm like, you know what? I missed today's Overwatch League games. I really want to see. I want to see how the Houston Outlaws did. I was very interested in that team.
Right.
Mainly because of their colors, if I'm being honest. I mean, we don't have, there's no Denver team, there's no Utah team, there's Salt Lake team. No. There's no way you and I can really hitch our wagon to anything super local for this particular league, for, at least for season one.
Right.
So I started darting around and going, all right, well, who do I like? Who do I like? And I started basing it on like graphic design because I really, really like the skins, the colors, and the logo for the Houston Outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
The logo's like two guns next to each other, but they also look like the horns of a bull.
Yeah, it's a great combo, and it's I assume those are the Reaper's guns.
No, they look more like McCree's. But
they kind of do, yeah. But
and they may not be either. I don't know, but they're super stylized and cool, and they fit the mood. But also the color, the green and black, so badass, so cool.
It is, yeah.
So I went with that because of that pure reason. Plus, you know, whatever. I'm into supporting a team that's sort of ish close-ish. And right, by the way, they're terrible. They're like in eighth place. They're not doing great. So
they might have been a bad horse to hitch your wagon.
Yeah, I mean, they're good players. Don't get me wrong, sure. But they're not as good as the all Korean London team.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. That makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it, everybody? The huge Korean population in London. It's actually brought up a few questions from people. But people are like, wait a minute, how is it all Koreans on the London team, yet the, what was it, the... There's another team that had a bunch of Europeans. Oh, it was Boston or New York. Anyway, it's all mixed. It's not like you're getting local folk, right?
Right.
It's like the NFL. Most of your players don't live in Seattle when they play for the Seahawks. They weren't born and raised there. They came from lots of other places. And that's how this works. So London and...
Same with lacrosse. Like, our Colorado team is 90% Canadians.
Yeah, exactly. Or our hockey down here or any of that other stuff. Like, you're going to pull from these different places and then they just represent you. So I don't really have a problem with it, but it is funny to hear them go, the London, whatever their names are, and out come like eight Korean guys, you know, six full-timers and a couple of bench warmers. And you're like, oh my gosh. And none of them know English. All their screens have Korean everything on it. And you're just like, yeah, they really subbed out for the London team. But then LA is beating everybody. You bastards. You bastards, LA, can you just have one sport, E or otherwise, where you're not dominating? That'd be great. Anyway, they're doing really good. But anyway, that's not the point of any of this. The point is, I sat down here, and I was like, all right, well, let's spread the crowd in the house out a little bit. And I sat down, and I turned on these games. in glorious HD. They're incredible. I don't know if you've seen any of this stuff, but the production quality up off the charts. Blizzard is spared no freaking expense. It is really nice.
Like, very cool. Because we watched a lot of it at BlizzCon. Tristan and I snuck in and saw, well, snuck. We got in line early and saw the some of the Overwatch battles, and it was just so cool. But you're saying the production value is even better than it was there.
Oh, by far. Like So what this is their new, this is the Blizzard Arena thing that they bought. Mm-hmm. So they have this big arena. It used to be, it was Johnny Carson's Tonight Show set.
Studio? Really?
Yeah, they bought the entire Johnny Carson Tonight Show studio in Burbank. It's now called Blizzard Arena, and they just do all of their esports stuff there now.
Oh, that's
all
cool.
Year long. And so you got to see this, though. Everything's a screen. And I'm not kidding when I say everything. Like, where you are sitting in the audience, you're looking forward, the entire visible space that wraps all the way around to your side is a screen. So when they're previewing the map that's up next, you get a giant panoramic, seamless, no pixelization, nothing, seamless, giant wraparound image of Junkertown or whatever it is they're floating through. When the when the players actually play, the entire wall, podium, backlight, front light, everything but the players themselves are these big solid orange or big solid green and black for Houston or whatever. It is seamless in the moment. It's incredible. Like, it's artistically charts.
Okay. Totally gonna go check
this out. Yeah, you gotta go watch some of these games. It's amazing. Sure. Anyway, and the competition is freaking, these people are gods from another planet. Like, I don't know how they're playing what they're doing. So anyway, the point is, though, all that stuff's neat. People should check it out. But I'm in a house full of people who have no idea what the crap I'm talking about, right? They haven't seen an e-sport. Sure. They don't know what, you know, League of Legends is or Overwatch or Hearthstone or any of this stuff. And so they're sitting there and go, oh, we're watching. They thought we were watching a sports thing because, you know, you got casters going, oh, my gosh, he's gone up to the thing and he's shielded. Right. You know,
right. Like they hear the term e-sports and they think it's a bunch of people sitting around playing Mattel electronic football.
Kind of, yeah. Like, I think they have this really dainty idea in their head about what this actually is, and it's not something this big. And I gotta say, I think I converted a whole room full of naysayers into actual esports fans, because they walked away from this going, no, when are the next games, what's going on? And they're like, the Heroes of the Storm stuff starts next week, that's HGC, when's Hearthstone, is this for real for all these? I'm like, yep, they're going all out. And I said, and it's not only these guys, there's a whole bunch of ESL Counter-Strike this week and some Street Fighter stuff happening with the Arcade Edition release. And, you know, like, I was telling them all these things, they can just get on Twitch. And I can watch this for free? Yeah. On my TV? Yes. Mm. Like, they're flipping out. So I converted everybody. Here's the best part. Here's the best part, because it ties a TMS thing right back into it.
Okay.
We're doing this. We were there for a few hours doing that. And we're like, oh, we're getting hungry again. The food we had wasn't necessarily filling or whatever. And the kids are like, you know what? Let's get pizza. I said, hey, stop right there. I've got a $25 gift certificate to Domino's because they jacked up my order last week and they gave me $25. So let's use that and get Domino's over to the house. Let's put them to the test so that on TMS tomorrow, I can say whether or not Domino's fixed their problem or not.
Yeah.
Okay, so we order it.
I'm excited. So hopefully get closure on this.
Problem last week, number one, was 2-hour wait. This time, 30 minutes. Bing!
Good.
Well done.
All right.
Second problem last time was the pizzas looked like baboon anus.
Right.
This time, they look like pizza. Okay, so bing, I guess. You get another one in the positive department.
Good.
This is the best part. This is the surprising part nobody expected. There's a kid that lives three doors away from us. He drives Nick to school every day.
Okay.
Nobody knew he worked at Domino's.
He was like secret Domino's delivery driver.
Yep. He shows up in his full regalia, the hat and the shirt and the logo and the everything, and he danced for us.
What?
In front of all these people. I paused the New York Excelsior / Boston, whoever they are, paused that game, and he danced. Like a full-on ditty there that took like 3 minutes in the middle of the basement floor. And it was like choreographed and like memorized and everything. And then
Like a boy band dance? Like if he had five of them?
Kind of, yeah.
Kinda. On stage at the iHeart Music Festival or something.
No music, though. Just him dancing. Right. Just awkward silence, you know.
Awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like that video, like that treatment someone did of that.
The Jamiroquai.
Yeah, yeah. Or any of those things, right?
Right.
So it just sounds like he's breathing and pouting and whatever. And then he just grabs his little insulator bag thing and leaves. And that was it.
Wow.
I say, I call all of that a success. Well done,
Meanwhile,
Domino's.
His buddies stole everything from the living room.
The heist was successful. Anyway, that's how that ended up.
You said the pizza looked fine. It got there quick. How'd it taste?
It was all right. I mean, look, Marco's has officially spoiled me.
Broken you for other pizza.
That pizza's amazing. Did I tell you I ordered another one Thursday? Because I'll tell you one thing about this flu. Normally, I don't feel like eating when I'm sick. I couldn't stop eating. I was so hungry all the time. There was something about that fever that made me constantly famished. So I went and got a whole nother pizza and ate like 7 slices of that damn thing.
Nice.
And they're great, dude. They're really good. Like,
they are good.
Genuinely good. I crave it. I'm craving it now. So, you know, doing that and then going back to Domino's, which I don't think that cheese is all that good. And, you know, it's just kind of... Mm-hmm. So, well, I mean, it is what it is. You get what you pay for. I totally understand that there are worse things you could do with your life. But Marco's has spoiled me and... Obviously, there are better pizzas out there. So
I'm going to have to see if the Marco's by me does the personal pizzas, and I'm just going to get one for lunch today because I need to get something for lunch. Or I could just get a full-size pizza, and we have some leftovers tomorrow.
You can binge it like I did. Well, look, the pizzas you can get, they have a lunch special there for like $7, which is like a small personally pizza-sized thing, a drink, and then, I don't know, something else, maybe some...
I don't think ours does, though.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. And this is only a pickup place. It wasn't like a restaurant type thing that we have. It's just
pickup. Oh, yeah. No, same with ours. Yeah, there's no room inside.
It's like Domino's. For all intents and purposes, it's like Domino's, but good food. Mm-hmm. That's basically it. And you pay a little more. It's not cheap, you know, it's not as cheap as Domino's, but we did get 2 big 12-inchers for like $7 a pie. That was all right. I mean, that's what, $2 more than they charge you at Little Sneezers.
Right, exactly.
And people think people think I call it Little Sneezers because it rhymes with Caesars. No, I call it Sneezers because I saw a guy at the drive-up window once sneeze on my pizza as he handed it to me. That's why I call it Little Sneezers. Anyway, on the box anyway. All right, so Brian, you went to your escape room. How the hell did that go?
It went really well. So this is officially the second escape room we've done. This time we escaped. We were really, really close on the first one we did a few months ago. This time it was me. It was really just the 4 of us. It was Tina, me, Tristan, and Simon. There was 2 more spots available for that one, but nobody bought it. So it was just the 4 of us. Mm. Now, had we had those other 2 people, we probably would have been able to solve it faster. And unlike the first one we did, the woman who runs this one kind of keeps an eye on you the whole time, but if she sees you kind of fixating on the wrong thing or trying to work on the wrong part of the room, she'll like chime in and say, "Hijackers, you may want to check the wall with the red paint."
Really?
Yes. So she'll she'll see, she's listening in on us and we're talking about, all right, well, I think it's these pipes over here because they have different numbers on them. And those pipes did come into play later on. But apparently we needed one more thing to be able to solve the pipe puzzle.
Yeah.
And so she, you know, she could tell that we were struggling, and which is really cool. It's fine. But it makes it harder for you to say, well, we did this without requesting any hints. We had hints thrust upon us,
right,
basically.
Right. I didn't think they would do that. I don't know why I would think that would be a bad move in a thing like this.
They didn't. We had... with the first escape room we did, they also watch and they listen in. We saw the TVs when we went in there and stuff. And they won't give you any clues unless you specifically request a clue. And they'll even go so far, and this place did the same thing, where they will give you a clue, but only if all of the people in the room are all looking at the camera and looking like they agree. They don't want somebody to say, those people are just fixating on the wrong thing. I want a clue. Give me a clue. Help me out here.
Is it because they have a limit, like a time limit, and you can only be in there so long or something? Is that why they're hurrying you along?
Well, they know that if you're successful in it, you're more likely to have fun and you're more likely to come back. Yeah. If you get stuck and you're frustrated, then you're not going to have as good a time and you're going to be like, That was fun, but man, we got stuck on the wrong thing, blah, 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 and they never helped us.
Sure, sure.
So,
did you guys solve it, or what? Did you fix it?
We solved it. We got through the whole thing. There were a few things. Here's the deal. If you've got an escape room, do a really good job of covering up the stuff that you did for previous escape rooms. And what I mean by that is they change these rooms out all the time, and they'll reuse this board here and this panel here and that sort of thing. And a simple piece of black, a simple swipe of black paint over raised lettering doesn't really hide the lettering. and makes people look at like a code on there that really has no bearing on the whole rest of the escape room.
Wow.
It's a little bit, that was something that we got fixated on. It's like Simon noticed that this board above the door had these raised lettering, but the whole board was painted black.
Yeah.
And you could kind of see in the right light, like these six letters and numbers, like, oh, that's great. That totally must mean something. And we spent so much damn time, probably a good 10 of our 60 minutes, trying to figure out where that came into play.
So it's a MacGuffin. The whole thing's a MacGuffin then.
It's a total MacGuffin.
Lame.
But it was an unintentional MacGuffin because they just didn't do a good enough job covering that up.
Was supposed to be...
It wasn't an intentional MacGuffin.
It was supposed to be erased. Like, this is no longer a thing, so we should hide it, but they didn't do a good enough job covering it.
Right, exactly. This was left over from the zombie escape room or whatever.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's a bug, but, dude, not a feature. I'm going to call that a bug.
It's a bug. It's definitely a bug. Yeah. However, we had a great time that we took a picture. I didn't post or anything, but we took a picture in front of their wall that says, "We successfully escaped rooms," and et cetera, blah, blah, blah.
We successfully escaped rooms.
We escaped rooms or great. A room.
Yeah, because it's just the one
room.
It was
a lot room. Of fun. And,
Do they have other themes? Can you go back there and go, yeah, we're going to do the one with the whatever. Okay.
Yeah, they have the Indiana Jones one, which is closing soon. I wouldn't mind doing that one, although I really like the presentation and the quality of the place downtown Denver that we went the first time.
Mm.
I mean, that room was decked out. It was like, you're basically doing a casino heist. Mm-hmm. This one, the quality was, I'd say, if the first one was a B+ as far as presentation, this place was a solid C.
Oh, all right, that's not bad. That'll get you through high school. Let's see, it's fine.
It'll get you through high school. It passes.
Yeah, you'll get out of there and decide if you want college or some sort of vocational training.
Right.
Exactly. Well, then there you go, Brian. Once again, now here's the question I had for you about all this, and then you can say yay or nay. If you had, let's say, in your house, you had a room that was dedicated to nothing but Brian going in there and puzzling that shit out into turning it into some rad thing, and then you call all your weird neighbors over. You should totally do this. Why don't you do this?
I would love to do an escape room. As a matter of fact, this actually inspired me. I'm going to be doing my uncle's birthday present. His birthday is in about a month, and I'm going to be doing his birthday present as an escape present. Like, basically, he's going to get a big box, and within that box are numerous puzzles that lead to the actual present.
Nice.
And just have to pick up a few locks. You want the ones with the numbers on it. You want the ones with the letters on it, and then you figure out how to get through the whole thing. And I've already got ideas for like four different puzzles that are going to lead him to his present. I don't think I'll do any more than that.
I love this idea. I feel like I'd be terrible at this, but I think you would be really good at it.
Well, and it's another thing that maybe we want to consider for Vegas. We have to see if there's it seems like Vegas, you'd have to have some rad escape rooms, right? Because there's money out there, and you could probably like put a few slot machines in the lobby and make enough money to have a really well decked out escape room.
It seems like you should. I haven't heard of anything though. Is there anything too skeevy anyway? It's like, oh, here's a place where there's a dead hooker, and it's a real dead hooker.
Strip club escape room. Those are pretty much all escape rooms because they're dark and foggy and
awful.
Every wall looks like it's covered with black paint and glitter.
Yeah,
but. Somebody's butt print, but we'll have to figure that out. I've already got some ideas for the Vegas thing, and speaking of which, if you listeners go to the Tadpool, the Facebook group, the Tadpool, if you haven't done it already, go and look at our post. It's a pinned post at the top of the Tadpool about the dates. Tells you the dates the trip is going to be. You guys can already start getting flights because we're not going to be able to help you with that.
Yeah.
And now's a good time to start picking up flights.
Yeah.
It's going to be Friday. Oh, I have the dates in front of me here.
By the way, while you're looking at that, the Tadpole we're referring to is the Facebook one, and there's a slight problem with that, only in that those who are not members of that have to apply for membership before they can even see it. So what I think I'm going to do today is we'll pimp that out because a lot of people are in there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do a separate straw poll that basically mirrors the stuff, the questions about definitely coming, not coming, like all that stuff, and then give everyone else like a Twitter way to get there so you guys can all find it. And
Hold on. I mean, are we going to get double responses? Do we add them together? Do we?
Oh, it's a good point. Double responses. Yeah. In my head, I'm thinking nobody will vote twice. And of course they will. Somebody will. I don't know. I don't know the best way to do it. Maybe that's a good place to do it where you're doing it because it's already a limiting factor, and maybe that's good because it's not like we have room for a billion people.
Or put at the top of the straw poll, if you've already responded on Facebook, don't respond to this.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Well, anyway, we'll figure it out. But anyway, the message is the same. So that's where they should go. And then now you've got dates. So what's going on dates,
right,
times?
Exactly. So the dates are going to be April 27th and 28th. That's a Friday night and a Saturday night. We're going to do some sort of big meetup hangout kind of thing on Friday night. I've got a few ideas of places we can go where we'll have a bunch of room and we won't have to worry about being forced to drink or anything like that. The 28th will be the actual event. It'll be at the Bunkhouse in downtown Las Vegas. And the rooms we're looking at, I can tell you where we're looking, but don't buy rooms yet, because if you're thinking about going, let us know that you're thinking about going on that Facebook forum, because we're going to try and get cheaper room blocks if we have enough people who are coming. Mm-hmm. That's why we've got the Facebook post there. But we're looking at the Plaza downtown, which just went through a renovation, and rooms are decent. It's rooms are good. I've looked online at the photos of the place. They look great. And it's going to be right there at the end of Fremont Street. We'll be able to hit some stuff downtown, and of course it's a really easy way to get to the Bunkhouse once the
And Fremont's kicking it right now. We like it there, so I think
that's good. Actually never stayed downtown. It's funny, I always stay on the Strip, but this will be my first time staying downtown.
First time was last year at the Grand, right? And we loved it down there. We almost spent all our time down there because there's plenty to do, and it's hopping right now. It's not the old dumpy old school it used to be. There's some gentrification going on. So
there's some gentrification that's all Zappo's money too.
Yeah.
There's some weird stuff that happens on Fremont Street. I mean, you know, big fat guys wearing thongs take a picture with me for $5.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's still there in force, sure.
But how, you know, that's not too many shades worse than the people who sit on the Strip flicking little business cards with naked ladies with the stars on their nipples. So, I mean, you know, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah, it's just the half a dozen is in tens of pounds and man, and man hair. Exactly. But anyway, it's that's cool. So the headcount is really to help us leverage the room block and give us an idea. There will also be at some point a link that will go up soon-ish that will let people basically pre-order a slot for the especially the second night's activities.
Yes.
And that will be a cheap thing. We're not going to make it expensive or anything. It's just going to cover costs. But in there will be some, like, kind of a swag bag. You get a cool bag that'll be all TMS rad stuff. I'll have a list of those things soon. And it gets you
into a concert too. So it's going to be our event. It's going to be TMS, and instead of ending with a cover, holy crap, we're going to be ending with a lineup of at least two bands, one of which is Same Sex Mary. Yeah. Going to be putting on a show just, you know, I wouldn't say just for us, because once our stuff is done, the place is pretty much open to the public as well. But
it might be like $20. Cheapest $20 you'll spend in Vegas. In Vegas, that's nothing. That's a tip for the Uber driver. It's like nothing.
I want to be your Uber driver, Scott.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. But anyway.
But still, definitely very cheap. And Bunkhouse is an awesome place to see a concert. Tina and I have gone there, and we've actually seen Same Sex Mary perform there.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a blast. And we hope you can come April 27th and 28th, 2018.
Yeah.
Las Vegas.
Now,
Nevada.
Like 30,000 of you listen to this show every day. There's no way we can fit all of you.
No.
In fact, we're thinking it's right around 150.
It is 150. There's only 150 spots available for this thing.
Right. So it's going to be a little tight on that. But that's why we're doing the tickets also, is to ensure that, you know, we can lock in spots and that sort of stuff. So anyway, more on that soon. Obviously, Brian's been doing lots of behind the scenes on this, and we'll have a kind of a more linky-dinky thing on the site soon. We'll make it easy for people to tell what the hell's going on. So watch for that.
Yes.
Did you see a movie last night? What'd you see?
I did, and I'll make it super quick. I saw The Post. We went and saw The Post last night. And tomorrow I'll tell you about the experience. But for right now, let's just say The Post, great movie. Really, really good. Definitely going to be among the nominations when the Oscar noms are announced.
Yeah, it seems like a guarantee. It's like if Spielberg makes a serious movie, you just give him the nomination.
Spielberg makes a movie with Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep. I mean, you know, yeah. If I don't know who else he could put in there. Octavia Spencer would kind of make it a lock.
Yeah,
right.
Then you'd be done. Yeah, you'd be all through. Right, all right. Exactly. Well, you like that better than The Color of Water or whatever it's called?
Yeah, I did enjoy it more. I like The Shape of Water.
Shape of Water and Color. Like,
right now, the order that I'd put my potential, what I expect to be nominated, I would say The Post, Dunkirk, Shape of Water.
Okay.
In that order.
That's interesting. No Mad Max Fury Road, they don't let him in for another year?
Not another year, no.
Okay, that's too bad. Feels like a missed opportunity. All right, well, this is great. Lots going on this weekend, lots to catch up on.
Yes, sir.
But one of the things we have to catch up on is our good buddy Brian Dunaway, where we try to stump him and allow you fine people at home to participate in a meaningful way. Put a number up on the screen. That's the number you're going to call if you want to participate in today's fun times. Let's play a little deal here for it. How about this? That game show music must mean one thing. That is that Brian Dunaway from South Carolina is joining us now. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Brian.
It's nice to see you again. I feel like we just saw it. We didn't see you, but I just heard you on Saturday, and I missed you horribly, so now is a chance to see you again. How are you?
I'm good, Scott. I'm ready to do this trivia thing.
I caught you right in the middle of drinking water. That's what I like to do to Brian.
Hi!
Hey, happy MLK Day. You get the day off. You don't have to work today, right?
Of course, I took the day off, and of course they called me and had me do something. So, hey, overtime on MLK Day. What can we do?
Hey, look at your sweet backdrop. What's this about, this blanket thing back
there? Oh, I'm trying some things, because last week I was on the show, and my room had gotten so dark, and my beard has gotten so full and thick, people said, is Brian wearing a strap-on beard? And I'm like, no.
The top half of your face is all we could see hovering in this this background. So
yeah,
it's like I might need to make some adjustments.
You had me as Brian wearing a strap-on. Anyway, what, Brian?
Yeah, it's a way to go. You've picked a slightly less dark background to sit in front of.
Yeah, well,
I'm in the middle of working on it.
Yeah. Well,
back
listen.
Off.
Time is money, friend. That's what the little goblins say.
Buxley says.
That's right. We're gonna, oh gosh, I hear ourselves. Hello, hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Neil.
Well, hello, Neil. Neil, where do you hail from, Neil?
I'm from north of Pittsburgh.
North of Pittsburgh. Oh man. Steelers fan or what?
Ooh. No, I'm actually from Ohio. I'm a Cleveland fan.
All
so
right.
Cleveland.
Well, listen, I appreciate and respect a Cleveland fan because they never win anything, and it also means that you like those weird chocolate brown candy corns on Halloween, because that's the color of their stupid jerseys. So bad.
Oh no, I agree. Those jerseys are really stupid looking.
Yeah,
so.
But that Jacksonville,
I like
the Jacksonville Steelers game yesterday. I don't know if anyone saw that, but oh my gosh,
no,
it was so good.
I saw the last minute of the Vikings Saints game, and that was incredible.
Another
Holy
one,
cow.
Yeah. It's really good football.
It's like the best teams are playing right now.
Yeah, weird, right?
It's like they somehow figured out a way to get the best teams in the league to play against each other to kind of narrow themselves
right.
down.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Expectation of some other event.
Yeah, that's crazy. How weird. Actually, you know what? It's funny you say that, because basically that's what Overwatch League is right now. It's the best possible players all playing at once. It's like a season of playoffs is literally what they've created. So no game is a blowout. No game is not intense. Like regular season Overwatch is like playoffs every day in football. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Neil, it's good to have you here. Brian Ibbett is going to explain the rules of this here contest and tell you what you could win.
That's right, Neil. We're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question here in just a moment. No, that's Brian Dunaway. It's not Che Guevara. Don't be confused. We're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question. The answer to that trivia question is a number. He's going to give his answer, and then we're going to turn to you and say, hey, is that number north of Brian Dunaway's answer or south of? No, we're going to say higher or lower. You're just north of Pittsburgh, so I thought I'd throw that in.
Sure.
Higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's answer. If you are correct, You win today. An Optimus Prime t-shirt. Where I put it? It's back there. An Optimus Prime t-shirt. Check this thing out. How cool this
what's
is.
What's it transform into?
It's a car, dummy.
A rag after about 2 years of wearing it.
Yeah. Transforms into a rag.
Look at that.
It's a good thing to wipe your ass with if you need it in a pinch.
A little irony required, but
sure.
Otherwise,
why not?
It is Prime.
That's right. Irony.
And a copy of The Marvelous Miss Take. It's a downloadable Steam game. I'll actually give you a card. I'll mail that with the shirt. Ooh. So you actually have a card so you can pass this along to somebody else or get it. Keep it for yourself.
Good game,
your
by the way.
Your category today is skin.
Whoa.
Skin. Number of skin I have.
Yes.
One.
How many number of skin do you have?
I have the one skin.
Oh, good. Well, all right, Neil, that's your category. Brian Dunaway, I'm about to ask you this question. Are you ready? You're ready.
Do it.
Okay.
Do it. I'm ready.
Hey, what grossed Scott out the most? It's this question. In pounds, how much dead skin does the average person shed in their lifetime? So per lifetime, how much do they shed in dead skin? And I will tell you what, it's a lot of skin.
I bet so, because we shed skin every day.
Mm-hmm.
As we bathe and we dry off with our towels that are gross and people share them, yep, we shed our skin. Yeah. So the fact that I don't see pounds of skin every day tells me that it must be much less than a pound a day. So times lifetime of what, average between 70 to 80 years? Is that about what we're looking
72,
at? Are we talking about American people? Because lifespans can be different.
Yeah, I'd say go by the current. Yeah, I'd say the current American average lifetime, male 72, female 80, whatever it is now. I don't remember.
Right. Okay, so let's just... Okay, so the thing that always grosses me out lately, it seems like bed manufacturers have found a way to really gross you out now, because they're constantly saying, you know, if you've had a bed for over 5 years, it's got an extra 10 pounds of crap in it.
Trying to change an actress, and here's why.
Right.
See, gross. You know what's ironic about all of this is we started it out with what grosses me out. Actually, skin exfoliation does not gross me out at all. What would gross me out is if you said, here's a big bag of your lifetime of skin cells. Let's put that in your oatmeal or something. Well, then we're getting gross.
Oh, God. Well, jeez. Right.
But up till that, like the fact that I shed skin every day, everyone does. Meh. Doesn't bother me. Right. It's fine. Just skin. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
So some of that's got to be sweat too, right? That you're leaving in the bed. It's not just skin, right? There's other things.
Yeah. And especially you. I mean, you poop in the bed, Brian. I've heard that.
Right. Right. And that's about a half a pound right there every day, because, you know, got a half a pound of meat in my colon every day. I got to get rid of.
Right.
Now we're grossing everybody out. Yeah. We've taken it to the next level.
That's
we've
done.
Beyond just grossing Scott.
That's right. Top shelf.
All right, so let's get down to this grossness.
Okay.
You know, if I was to shed every day and for an entire lifetime, let me think. I'm going to go with 2,000 pounds.
2,000 pounds of human skin.
Ton. Of fleshy, gross, dead skin over a lifetime of life, right?
Yep, average life of a person, 2,000 pounds. Brian Ibbett, is that the right answer?
2,000 pounds is incorrect. Neil, is the correct answer higher or lower than 2,000 pounds?
That sounds like a lot. I'm going to have to go lower.
Lower, Neil says, just north of Pittsburgh. All right, let's see. He's saying it's just south.
Just south 2,000 pounds.
Well, let's find out with the judges if that's correct. Is it?
Congratulations.
It totally is.
You're a winner.
88.2 pounds is all. It's a lot lower than the 2,000.
It's still a lot.
It's still a lot.
Well, that's the way the mattress people have me freaked out. I figured it had to be at least that much, right? Because I was like, every 10 years, they say gain so much.
Let me tell you what that is. By the end of my lifetime, there will be enough skin follicles to make up the size of my ninth grade self. Worth of dead skin sitting next to me.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're gonna do that. Like, if you're starting now, youngins, if you're starting now, start every day, collect that skin from your bed.
Yeah,
sure. Slowly build a person at the end of it.
Make sure to put that in your Match.com profile too.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Just mix in
busy
a little.
Busy collecting skin follicles.
Mix in a little
Hope
water.
Hope one day and create another me.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you done with that?
It makes a nice sculpting paste. You just put a little water in there and you're fine.
I've been watching a lot of X-Files the last couple of weeks. I've started from the beginning, and I gotta say that sounds like an X-Files episode.
It totally does, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, human shed, by the way, some fun facts: 600,000 particles of skin every hour. We shed and regrow our outer skin cells about every 27 days, so about once a month we are a different person. And I just watched my
brand new person.
I like my snake's idea. Every 6 months, he gets kind of lethargic and won't eat, and then the whole thing comes off. Just one big old thing, and then he's happy as a pig in poo. That's how we should do it. That's what I want.
You're right.
Congratulations, Neil, north of Pittsburgh. You're going to get this T-shirt and the Marvelous Mistake game, which is a fantastic game, by the way. Brian will send those directly to you. All you have to do is send him an email, coverville@gmail.com. That's coverville@gmail.com, and congratulations. Well done.
That's right.
Brian Dunaway. You've provided fine entertainment and a welcome break in our lives today. We appreciate that. Later today, Brian and I will be bringing back the Boop Show after a little bit of a Scott
Only
was sick.
3 weeks have we missed.
Stupid holidays. Scott had the flu. What else can I tell you? But you will get a new show today.
So we'll be talking about the best games of 2017. I'm just kidding.
No, we won't. We're not doing that. We will talk about what's going on lately, though, in the world of video games, including my time with Overwatch this week, because there are some interesting things to talk about I didn't mention at the top of the show. So check that out. 3:30 Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv. In the meantime, follow Brian Dunaway at TheBrianDunaway on Twitter. Brian, take it easy. Have fun and...
I gotta go shed some skin.
Yeah, and work on your blanket back there. Get that blanket going. All right, well, Brian. The other Brian?
Yes.
We don't have a ton of news time, but I do think I want to talk about one of these.
Well, we gotta insert one little piece of breaking news.
Oh, there's breaking news. What happened? We'll do that. What is that?
It's Dolores Riordan, who's the lead singer of the Cranberries, just passed away.
How? What?
In New York, yeah.
What happened?
No.
Do we know what happened?
I'm looking it up. She's only 46, so younger than us.
Yeah.
And
it's with my 90s bands losing all their people.
I know. Let's see. Cause of death wasn't immediately available. No other information about that.
She's zombie. She's the one, right?
That's the one. And Linger and
Cranberries, Wikipedia. Let's see here. Breaking news. Yeah, I don't like this.
Yes. In 2014, O'Riordan was accused of assaulting 3 police officers and a flight attendant during a flight from New York to Ireland. She pled guilty and was fined €6,000, but that's a whole different piece of information.
No, they call that the Irish exit. That's an Irish exit right there.
That's the Irish layover.
Oh, man, that bums me out, though. Seriously, doesn't it feel like all these 90s guys bands are like losing people and in ways that are sometimes like tragic and stuff? Like, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if the 90s, an alternative, grunge/alternative, was depressing, hard stuff. And now people are dying because they were already kind of depressed and hard, if you know what I'm saying, you know?
Right. What Cranberries never were really like. Super depressing. I mean, they always had kind of a little bit more lighter tone to them. Linger was a great example of that.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I felt like I fell off after that first album. I didn't really follow them as much, but still a little bummed out. My kids will be sad. They love that. We play in the car when they were little.
Yeah.
And so you got to understand, people are always like, that's not your decade. You grew up in the 80s. No, that's true, but I have all kinds of coming of age things about the 80s. But the 90s for me is when you settle in. It's like your 20s is when you're going out and you're at concerts more and you've got more expendable income and you're buying more albums and all that. And that's when I gained like a huge appreciation for electronic music at the time. Mm-hmm. I was listening to a Left Field 22-year anniversary thing of their amazing album the other day. And I still love that stuff. And I loved, you know, Nirvana and Jane's Addiction and all that kind of stuff when it came out and happened. And so for me, the 90s was kind of my music decade.
Yeah.
And so having all these people die for bad reasons sucks. I don't like it.
Yeah. I actually saw the Cranberries open for the at the Paramount Theater. Boy, what would it have been like 1990 7 or something.
That sounds right.
And she was it was funny because we'd only known like that first album. I think they were touring in support of that first album.
Yeah.
And she, through the entire opening set of 6 songs, kept interrupting the songs to tell the person on the soundboard to turn her up or turn the arrangement up, or now it's too loud in my right ear. Now turn up the volume and, you know, turn up the monitors. And of course, in her sweet little Irish accent, yeah. Turn up the monitors.
Could you turn it up, please? We're trying to make a song here.
We're trying not to let it linger.
I got to go.
Slam. And that's an Irish exit.
Irish. It didn't even say no. She would have just walked off stage. Would have been the Irish exit.
Well, for whatever reason it happened, I'm sorry. That sucks. Yeah. And I feel bad for anybody related to her or the rest of the band or anybody else. Were they still performing and working and all that, or do we know?
They were, yeah. They just released an acoustic album last year, and they were touring. And actually, they had to cancel some tours because of some health issues, so I think that might have been
related. That's we'll find too, out more. That's too young. It's so young, it makes me nervous, because you and I are like just older than her, mm-hmm. like barely.
Yeah, but we don't live the rock and roll lifestyle, Scott.
Is that that's the deal? All right. What do we live? The weird podcaster lifestyle?
The weird podcaster lifestyle is what we do, yes.
Great. Well, let's do what podcasters do. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, major spoilers, Trek nerd, and a new mashup today that is pretty fantastic. So,
oh, God, I can't wait.
At least from what I've heard. I didn't hear the whole thing. I stopped because I like to be surprised like you before I heard the whole thing. But Jamie delivers yet another rad one. So that's coming up. There's also apparently a very Ibbot-focused thing being worked on right now. I don't know what it is, but he won't tell me exactly. But there's some secret, some little Ibbot project.
Last time there was something like this, it was me saying absolutely for like 6 minutes straight.
Yeah, I remember that. So I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried what it is.
Great. It's
just you saying shekch over and over.
Shekch.
Yeah.
Shekch.
There it is. May as well just save him the time. Let's just play it here. There you go. There's the Brian mashup forever.
Hello, I'm Jay Bromberg. This is anyway. All right, let's there's plenty of time for that. We got Daryl coming on later.
All right, what song you got? I want
to
hear something.
Listen to something brand new from Leah Calvert. She actually just released her first solo album, Satellite. Came out Friday. Really, really good stuff. I'm trying to find some kind of background information. Co-produced by Marlon Patton and Rick Lawler of the Atlanta rock outfit Weisshund. This is some great stuff. This is the title track from her brand new album. Here is Leah Calvert and Satellite.
All right, we'll be back in just a second. Everybody hang in there. We'll be back with Steven soon. Stay tuned.
Keeps us breathing.
It's Scott here, talking real quick about our buddies over at LinkedIn Learning, now featuring Lynda content. Lynda.com, you may be familiar with them. Leader in online learning for the past 20 years. That's how you know them. LinkedIn Learning is for problem solvers, for achievers, for people who want to make things happen because you want to improve your productivity, get better at time management, or lead efficient meetings. Everything you need to accomplish and more is on LinkedIn Learning. If you're looking to lead a more productive and efficient life, LinkedIn Learning has courses on overcoming procrastination. I could use that. Time management foundations. Could also use that. And personal effectiveness. Could definitely use that. They also offer quick tip courses for software like Outlook, Excel, QuickBooks to boost your productivity. LinkedIn Learning has courses for all experience levels, and they cover a wide range of technical skills, including business techniques, strategies, creative techniques, and more. I use it for all my Adobe stuff, and if you're like me, you should be doing the same thing. With this membership, you can find the right video course for you, out of their extensive library, explore course recommendations that are curated just for you, learn at your own pace using any method you prefer, and you get transcripts even from the videos if you want to sort of have stuff on the go or after the fact. No hidden charges or upsells, access to all the courses you want, all for one monthly price, and available worldwide. Learn from anywhere, computer, tablet, mobile device, does not matter. We've got a special deal for you. Get 30 days free with LinkedIn Learning today by going to linkedin.com/TMS. That's linkedin.com/TMS. Go today. Learn something.
The world's so complicated these days, everyone's such a specialist that no one can be sure yet what's fact and what isn't.
Ooh, I squeezed it out like a bar of soap in the shower, dude.
You guys want some sandwiches? This is the Morning Stream.
We're back, everybody. Hello.
Hello.
Run upstairs and see who was banging on the door.
Who was it?
A delivery. Something for my wife.
Okay.
I need, like you, a camera I can look at and see my porch. That's what I need.
I'm watching snow, like our streets were completely clear. We've now got about an inch of snow. I've been watching it fall the whole morning. It's beautiful.
Coming white. Coming west or going east, do you know?
No idea.
It's beautiful it's falling, here today.
The wind is kind of blowing it a little bit west, so you might get it.
It is currently 40 degrees here in Salt Lake City. If you prefer Celsius space points, 4. It's 4 degrees.
There you go. Nice.
Yeesh. All right. Good song. I like that a lot, actually. That was really good.
Actually, it kind of had a little bit of a 90s feel to it, honestly.
Yeah. Almost a little, I mean, not exactly, but almost a little Cranberries vibe
it
there.
It kind of was. Yeah. Vocals and stuff. Yep.
Ghosts. Crazy. That's probably too soon. It's too soon to say.
too soon to say zombie, actually.
Yeah. Yes. Way too soon to say zombie. I'm glad you did. All right, let's.
Well, somebody in the chat room said it first, so I can't even take blame or credit for that.
Blame or credit is good not to have either of those two things. All right, let's do what we do next, and that is invite a good pal onto the show and talk about some rad stuff.
Yay!
Why he even has a theme, and I'm about to play it. If indeed he answers. Usually he's like, pick up Johnny.
I know. He's like, yeah, exactly. Never have to wait with Steven.
Yeah. Not today either, it turns out. All the way from the nerdiest corner of Hayes, Kansas, comes one Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com. Hello, Steven.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Good morning. Put down that Archie comic and answer the phone.
Yeah. What's going on? You're an Archie reader. You like that stuff, don't you?
Yeah, especially the Mark Waid stuff that he's been writing with Archie. He's kind of updated it, made it a little bit more relevant. We got the brand new art and everything with that. It's really, really good. Of course, Afterlife with Archie, when it comes out, is fantastic, as is The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which is getting that Netflix series treatment. Definitely good stuff over there at Archie lately.
All right. Well, you never know what you're going to get when Jughead enters a room. That's what I
know. Werewolf. That's his new thing right now.
He's now a werewolf.
Why is he always the one that gets to be this stuff?
Well, let's see. They've got Veronica is a vampire hunter. Jughead is a zombie and a werewolf, depending on which series you're reading. So, Jughead.
Yeah.
It's Jughead.
Yeah. Well, it's also because, Archie's kind of got to hold down the fort. It's his comic, after all. Like, it's his name on the top. So you got to figure Jughead is maybe expendable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as we all know with Veronica,
charge up your balls.
Yeah. That's what she'd say.
All right. It's true. Yep. Silly person.
I miss having her on podcast. She's so busy now with her real life and her new job and stuff that we don't get to hear her voice very much. Although she's on DTNS every Monday, so people can catch her there. But miss having Veronica on things. What to rectify that. A little guest spot. Get her back on here. That'd be fun. But not now. Today is not that day. Today is Monday. That means Steven, later Daryl. Steven, let's talk about Conan, or some would say Conan. I wouldn't say that. I'd say Conan.
TV host Conan. Yeah. Barbarian Conan.
Yeah, Barbarian Conan coming to Marvel, or returning to Marvel, because this used to be in Marvel.
Yeah.
So
From 1970 until 2000, 650 issues of Conan the Barbarian, Savage Sword of Conan, all those stories were printed there at Marvel. And then in 2003, the property went over to Dark Horse Comics just until this year. And then they announced on Friday that the property will be returning to Marvel in 2019.
Does that mean Marvel owns it again, or is it some kind
of... Well, no, it's owned by, Conan Properties Incorporated. It owns the Conan rights.
Conan!
So they're just licensing it out back to Marvel. Now, I don't know why the property was lost over at Dark Horse, because they've been doing a bang-up job for, almost 15 years now.
Yeah.
And for it to suddenly go back to Marvel makes me really question... How much longer does Dark Horse have? I mean, they just lost Star Wars, and they went from a number 3 publisher to sometimes barely a number 5 publisher now.
Mm-hmm.
Conan sells very well. I really thought if it was going to go anywhere, it'd go over to Dynamite, where they have Red Sonja and some other cool Robert E. Howard properties, some pulp properties over there.
Yeah.
Marvel has Star Wars. They now have Conan. If this 21st Century Fox deal goes through with Disney, Marvel could end up getting the Aliens and Predator franchises as well. So either one of two things are happening. Either Dark Horse is just really screwed in the last couple of years and they will slowly fade off into the night, or they are doing a systematic, hey, we're closing down our business and we will be out of this in 10 years. I don't know what's going on, but it concerns me for Dark Horse, who at one point was the, hey, you don't like Marvel, you don't want to read DC. Well, here's the Dark Horse over here, Dark Horse Comics. And they had a lot of stuff. And now it's the Mike Mignola stuff with Hellboy. And that's about it. They have some really good, you know, smaller titles, but they don't sell or get as much press as Conan, the 21st Century Fox stuff, and Star Wars once did.
How do you feel about this cover with Thor and Wolverine with him? What's up with that?
That's weird. We don't know, because the Marvel has not made any announcements on creative teams or anything like that, because the first issue won't come out until 2019. So be on the lookout. Maybe they will announce something at New York Comic Con, which is coming up in about a month or so. More than likely, they're going to wait until San Diego Comic Con for their big announcements on this.
I'm a little bummed out about
Mainly for Dark Horse.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, Dark Horse was always, it was the Dark Horse, right? Mm-hmm. It was your underdog, and you always could count on it to have the cool things you couldn't get someplace else. Yes. Aliens versus Predator, or Star Wars, or whatever it was that it had at the time. And it was like, okay, I want my capes and cowls. Sure, I can go to Marvel and DC, and I can always get what I want there. But hey, how about this darker thing? And in some ways, you know, Image came along and took that spot somewhat. But
yeah.
It bums me out. Like, what do I go there for now? I guess Red Sonja's still there. No, that's over at Dynamite.
No, that's over at Dynamite. I said, what Dark Horse is doing really well right now is the Hellboy stuff, which people should check out. But even then, there's a really good Rasputin, Call of the Dragon, I think, is the miniseries that's going on right now. Really, really cool. It's really looking at what Rasputin was doing just prior to Hellboy coming to Earth. Really great series. 3 issues have come out. The highest that one ranked in November was like 119, I think, is where it listed on the top 300 list, which not even in the top 50, not even close to the top 10. They've got Usagi Yojimbo, which, again, great comic, but it doesn't have the huge numbers like people hope that it will.
Was it Usagi Yojimbo?
Yeah, Usagi Yojimbo. It's by Stan Sakai. It's a great series if you haven't read this.
Okay.
Go check it out. It's been running for, 20, 30 years, something like that.
Well, have you ever heard of that, Brian? I never even heard of that one.
Usagi Yojimbo. The name is familiar. I think I've heard the Yojimbo part. Was that like an adaptation of a TV show or something?
No. That would be from a Japanese movie. I believe that's the one about the Ronin that kind of wanders around. And that's kind of what Yojimbo is about. He's a rabbit samurai, or ex-samurai, and he's going around righting wrongs.
Wait, he's a rabbit samurai?
Yeah. It's an anthropomorphic series.
All right.
It's really, really good. If you have not read any Stan Sakai stuff, do yourself a favor and go do it.
Okay. You've never steered me wrong. I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah.
John Ridley, exploring the other history of the DC universe. Tell me about this. What's going on?
Yeah, so everyone knows John Ridley, the Oscar award-winning director, writer behind 12 Years a Slave. He's been doing some comic book work, and DC just announced this past weekend that John Ridley would be working on a title called The Other History of the DC Universe that explores characters like Jon Stewart, Vixen, Supergirl, Katana, Renee Montoya, and how their groups are affected when they are outside of costume. And how they have to deal with real world issues.
I like this.
So it's coming. I don't know when the release date of that is. It's supposed to be winter of 2018, which sometimes people say winter and they don't realize like right now is winter time.
Yeah.
Of 2018. And some people think that, November, December of 2018. So we'll find out here fairly soon, because the solicitations for April should be arriving any moment on the website. So we'll have that up shortly.
Yeah.
This could be really interesting. I did not get a chance to see the panel that he sat on this past weekend at the up in Washington, D.C., at the D.C.'s Many Shades of Heroism, the D.C. Comics Through an African-American Lens panel that was going on. I do believe you can still watch that on the D.C. Comics YouTube channel. I believe they have a link to that still up.
Okay. I'm interested. I keep expecting you to come on the show and go, they're reviving Gotham Central, everybody. And one of the things I liked about Gotham Central is this idea of, let's see how the normal side has to operate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love that kind of thing. It's one of my favorite things comics do, and they don't do it enough, so this is exciting in that regard. And this is I'm sorry, you may have even said this, but this is an actual graphic book, novel.
Yeah, this will be a comic book.
Okay,
series.
So it's not like a book.
No. Right.
Not that I wouldn't read it, but I tend to...
John Ridley has been doing some comic book stuff, and I forget who he's doing it with. He may be doing some DC stuff right now, but he's been doing some comic book work in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. The yeah. Other History of the DC Universe. Check that out. John Ridley.
Yeah, soon. Also coming out in February, I had a chance to watch an early screener this morning of Driving While Black.
Oh.
It is a really good movie. I believe it comes out February 1st. Probably won't make big rounds, but Brian, if you're looking for a really good movie kind of in the vein of Dope, or maybe even Hollywood Shuffle. It says it's a comedy, but I thought it was a little bit more serious than that. But you guys might want to be on the lookout for Driving While Black.
Racial profiling on our nation's highways. Is it a
Well, that's a Wikipedia page, but that's the name of the movie is based on the concept of the racial profiling.
Right. And it's a drama, right? It's not a documentary.
They say it's a dark comedy is what they're saying that it is.
All right.
And I was watching, I was like, yeah, this is really dark. If you've seen the movie Dope, which is also really, really good, this kind of feels in that same vein. It also feels kind of, I guess if you wanted to say Hollywood Shuffle is a dark comedy, it kind of fits in that vein too, because here's a young black man in Los Angeles who's trying to get jobs and come up in the world, and just a series of circumstances has always got him being pulled over by the police because they're profiling him.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if you guys, this is a side note, but if you want to see some dark comedy that's super dark and very British, watch the Netflix's The End of the Effing World.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty great. I liked it a lot. I don't know if I'm supposed to like
that. Right. I've seen that getting advertised.
Yeah, I tore through it. It's really short, and those episodes are only like 20 minutes long.
Oh, okay.
But I thought it was great.
I was debating on whether to watch it or not, because it did seem kind of.
It's funny.
Maybe too disturbing.
It's funny, disturbing, quirky, heartening. It's a lot of stuff. It's kind of hard to wrap my head around, but I think the girl is brilliant in it. And the kid that plays the boy is crazy, weird. It's just this British. It's like British Fargo, kind of, but also it's narrated by the main characters the whole time, and it's just twisted. I liked it. I would recommend it.
I will put it on my watch list then.
Not for the children, though.
Yeah, there's so much stuff that I can't have the kids watch.
I know.
Netflix may as well be called the new HBO. They just don't have anything that kids can... Well, I mean, they do, but they don't have... Like, all of their original programming, it feels like all of it's got a boob at least. At least a boob, if not more, and lots of bloody. Like, here's the other thing I noticed about Netflix. They got this new sci-fi show coming that's based on a novel called, or a series. It's it's a little Blade Runner-ish. The name's escaping me. Anyway,
I know what you're talking about.
It's a guy from The Killing Ibbot. It's, what's his name?
Oh, Joel Kinnaman.
Joel Kinnaman's in it, he plays like a reconstituted hitman or something. Yeah. In this Blade Runner kind of universe, and apparently the
trailer book, just arrived, right?
Yeah, the books are supposed to be beloved, and so that's coming to Netflix soon, February, I think. And it Altered Carbon. That's it.
Yeah,
it looks great. Great cast, great everything, great look. It looks exactly like something I'm going to want, but I know there are going to be 20 boobs in it. There'll be 20 boobs.
At least it's an even number.
Yeah, it's just 10 people, right? And then there'll be like. Well, it's in the future, though. It could be three boob people.
Well, oh, true. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, like the Total Recall lady. She had that.
She did.
She had the three boobs. But anyway, I just, you know, I'd like to be able to comfortably sit with my daughter and watch a cool thing about sci-fi. Sometimes you can't so much. That's all. It's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
Parental problems. I'm going to see it anyway. Hey, Steve, anything else going on around the major spoilers world that the people should be paying attention to?
Not yet. Not lately. We do have a Twitch channel. Major Spoilers is our Twitch channel. And on Saturdays, I have been playing a game called Tomb of Annihilation. It's the electronic version of the board game from Dungeons & Dragons Wizards of the Coast. And it's been pretty fun. And I found out that we are probably only about halfway through that. So if you want to go see what that game's about, go check us out on our Twitch channel, Major Spoilers. Subscribe to all that other fun stuff. And it's a fun game. It really is.
It says adventure from levels 1 to 11. So it's the rule system from D&D then.
Not really. It's based on not the RPG game, but the board game. And there's this board game where it's random tiles, and you and your characters are running around, and you know, you have quests to complete and so on and so forth. So yes, Tomb of Annihilation is the current storyline that's running through the Dungeons & Dragons universe, but they produce these board games versions of it, which are a lot of fun. And if you don't have time to do a whole RPG campaign, sitting down with your friends and running through a couple of levels of this or a couple of sessions of this, it can make up for that very easily. You've got characters that you can role play like, and all sorts of stuff. So
there was a game, and I know they've brought it back out, but it was called Dungeon with an exclamation point that came out in the '80s, and I remember
kind of like that. Yeah.
I love grid based, turn based.
Yeah, it is.
Tile-based game. Oh, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the video right now. I've got to get this today.
I don't know if the sale is still going on, but over the weekend you could get the game and all the DLC stuff for like $20.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah, it's still going. Let's see, 33% off. The core game's only $10.71 if you buy the whole schmear, $19.26, and it's 31% off of that, the full bundle. And it's currently enjoying a very and mostly positive review, which is great. Let's see, Tomb of Annihilation, but it came out in October, so it's kind of new.
Yeah, it's relatively new. Like I said, I've been playing it for about 2 months now on the Twitch channel, and we are only about halfway through with it.
I'm really into this.
Yeah.
In really cool. A co-op or what?
No, not in this version. It's all single player, although you could do, you know, pass the mouse kind of thing.
That's
with
fine.
Your friends.
Screw people, because I would rather play by myself. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I really
and what's
would.
Nice, what's nice about this game is Wizards of the Coast and WizKids have released, I think this is like the fifth version of this board game, the physical version of the board game.
Yeah.
And if you get a chance to play the electronic versions of board games on Steam or on your iPad or Google device, I think it makes you a better player when you finally sit down to play the tabletop game with the rest of your friends.
Is this on iOS by chance?
No, it's not, unfortunately.
It's coming, though.
It is.
Yeah, it's headed toward this looks like an iPad Pro game for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, cool. And that thing will be a little bit cheaper, too. All right, I'll have to consider these things as I move forward in my life. I love games like this. This is a great recommendation. Thank you for that. And I'll have to check out your stream. That sounds great.
Yeah,
major spoilers on Twitch, everybody. And, of course, major spoilers on Twitter. Follow Steven. He's always got something to say about many things. Steven, have a fantastic day.
We'll bye, guys.
See you soon. Bye.
See ya.
All right. Good times with Steven.
Oh, always. Always.
I think so. I've never had a time where I went, man, what a bummer that conversation
never
was.
Had a bad time.
No.
Never.
You know, Daryl, you're not online. That's... It seems important for him to be actually online.
Yeah,
in column.
For an online show.
Yeah.
Get online.
I mean, I'm not trying to be a, you know, jerk or anything. But I'm just saying, if you're gonna be on a podcast,
not asking for something above and beyond.
No,
is what you're saying.
No, yeah. I'm not even asking for Bed Bath and Beyond.
No.
All right. Well, we'll ring him. Okay. We'll see what happens. Maybe back up. Hey, guess what, everybody? No Daryl today. He can't get on the call for some reason. I don't know why. We'll blame his internet at work. Who knows?
Yeah.
He's a busy guy, and he's got really important governmental secrety things going on. But Daryl also searched because he was cheesing me out on the internet about Johnny Carson's Burbank Studio not being the Blizzard thing. No, it is. Just look it up. Burbank, Johnny Carson Studio, and the word Blizzard, and you'll find all the references to Blizzard Arena moves into historic Burbank Studios. So that's the NBC studios that were used for that, and it's now a giant esports thing. And it's awesome. And you got, seriously, Brian, you got to go look at some of that video and behold.
Oh, you know I will. I'm going to do that after the show today.
Even if you don't watch games... How they present that thing,
mm-hmm.
Mind-boggling.
That can make all the difference, totally. Oh, I'm, you know, that's
really
that
something.
Is the thing for me. I mean, whether it's a game or I like to watch or not,
yeah.
Esports-wise, if it's presented well, I'll watch anything.
Yeah, it's really good. All right, well, you know what? Jumping straight to a mashup then. How about that?
Yes.
Episodes 1407 to 1409. That's right up to the minute here.
Cool.
Make America Dab Again is the title. I don't know what that means, but I'm guessing it has something to do with Grandpa Skippy. So here it is. I'm going to play it. Check it out. As usual, last night's event leaves me kind of... I don't like those shows.
Now is not the time for us to be fighting.
It looked like the back end of a baboon. It was awful.
They spit on my doorstep and I caught it on camera with my Ring doorbell.
And you're running around with your doodle hanging out.
Yeah, and it's a real doodle. Like, they're not...
It's a real doodle.
Yeah, I mean, there's physics to this little doodle.
It's a floppy doodle.
Yeah, it's a floppy real doodle. Brian, let me tell you the one part of you I never hope I see.
Okay, would you tell Ali to pass the turkey?
I'm made one good movie. Thanks for being part of our honor system, eh? Has always been a closeted groper oral sex demander.
Okay, on the pervy trail.
On the pervy trail.
If I found out tomorrow that Scott sold crack to kids, I wouldn't think less of the show.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would, and I would want you to.
I heard Tom Merritt likes to lick feet on the subway.
I don't gain weight easily, but when I do, my friends.
When I do.
I eat 5/6 of a pizza.
It's all just suck, suck, sucks.
Yeah, it's a big bucket of suck, really. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, how much suck can a big suck suck if a suck could suck suck? You do not want to die from being jelly-fisted.
Martin Beriscooper Gooba Googie.
Nailed it. Look at me, Ellen. I'm very hip with the kids and the lingo.
The kids love me. That's where the votes are going to come from.
Krieger, you're up.
Can you imagine opening the door and your pizza guy has his penis out?
Oh, you just ate some guy's toe cheese. You didn't know it, did you?
As we know, urinals are a sign of the devil.
I can't really see anything. He's just got like a little knob there, I guess.
Listen, I'm here to stop the war on dabbing.
You can say that you can dab again.
Dabbing. Democrats are trying to take dabbing away from us.
No more.
We're gonna make America dab again.
Mad.
I don't think, you know what, while we're recording the show, I don't know, we're okay. It's funny.
Yeah,
you know, we have our moments, but then this stuff comes out later. I'm like, oh my gosh.
We are freaking hilarious.
And I don't remember saying any of it. I won't remember what I said today, tomorrow. I know.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So we're glad he's chronicling this stuff in a way that's...
We are so damn hilarious. I can't get over how funny we are.
We're
funny.
So funny. And we're the least racist people you'll ever meet. And we're the
least racist people you'll ever know. Yep, believe
I'm the,
me.
I'm the most
believe
humble me. Person you'll ever meet. Believe me.
Right.
I'm the most person you'll ever racist.
Yep, ever, ever.
Believe me.
And by the way, if anyone ever tells you the least racist person you'll ever talk to, if they ever tell you that, they are likely... the most racist person you've ever talked to.
Well, the least racist people in your life don't have to tell you they're the least racist people in your life because they never say anything that would come across as even potentially racist. I think that's the whole point of
that's the entire
the least
thing.
Racist people we know.
There you go. That's exactly it. The most humble people in your life do not tell you they're humble.
They don't
you
have
see,
to tell you.
You
yeah.
see
the most
that
anything
they are.
Or least anything people in your life don't have to tell you they're the most anything or least anything
people
in your life.
You see that they are. You know that they are. You don't need to be told by that person.
It's true.
That's right. When you stop trusting them the minute they tell you that. Or the minute they tell you everything they do is great, that's when you know that everything they do is shit. Hey, I got a good example of that. I was watching an old clip from Justified, and you remember that time where Raylan said, if you're walking around all day and you run into one guy who's an asshole, well, then he's the asshole. Mm-hmm. But if you walk around all day and you meet nothing but assholes, guess what? You're the asshole.
So true. It's my favorite thing from Justified.
It's
if
really
I carry
good.
Nothing else with me from for life,
yeah.
from Justified.
There you go.
And it was in the glass the whole time.
Yeah, you're right. It was in the glass the whole time, Raylan. Excellent news, everyone. We're done. We'll fit Daryl in later in the week when we get his hoo-ha figured out. Don't forget, you can support us over at patreon.com/TMS. That's patreon.com/TMS. A thing that keeps this show breathing. And I mean that. So go over there and support us if you haven't yet done it. Big thanks to Halcyon 672 or 27 for our mashups. That's Jamie. So if you want to follow him on Twitter, that's where you can find him. Halcyon 627. We're at frogpants.com/TMS. And you can find all of our other goodies there. Ways to contact us, Twitter accounts, Reddit, blah, blah, blah. It's all there.
Cool.
That's going to do it. Brian, let's go. You got a deal.
You know, I got one quick plug too.
Plug it.
Just put on the site 20 t-shirts, the last 20 Jazz and S t-shirts. Now, this is the t-shirt that went along with the album that Andrew Allen did last year. It's a rare occurrence where you've got a Scott and Brian collaboration that's not in podcast form. I did the artwork on the front of the shirt, which is really just the Nintendo controller stylized. Scott did the artwork on the back of the shirt, which is a great pixelated Mario. Mm-hmm. There are 20 shirts left, ranging from large to triple XL. They're on the Coverville site. I haven't even put up a photo of them, but they're up there. When they're gone, they're gone. So if you've been wanting one of these shirts, go snag them right now. Free shipping in the U.S. If you go pick them up. So that's at Coverville.com store.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
This one is going out to Cammy or Kay Katsumi in the chat. She says, or he says, I think she, I could be wrong. Apologies if I'm wrong. My birthday is Sunday, January 14th. One more year creeping up towards the dreaded 5-0, and then you're going to get a bunch of black and gold balloons. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Please play something to help with the depression of that thought. Signed Cammy. Just something upbeat and peppy is what they are requesting.
All right. Upbeat and peppy. I like that.
Yeah, so I look for 50, and really the only songs that come up are 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover and 500 Miles, which is more than 50, but it comes up because there's a 50 in there. So I decided to do some math and kind of go the other direction. Now, Scott and I are both born in the summer of 1969, and you would have been born in the winter of 1969. So why don't we go with this one? It's a cover of the song by Bryan Adams, done by an amazing pop skiffle group. Yes, pop skiffle. You heard that right.
Yep.
The Lost Fingers came out with an album in 2010 called Gypsy Chameleon, where they covered a bunch of great 80s classics in this kind of cool skiffle style that they do. They're so good. Here are The Lost Fingers and Summer of 69.
See you guys tomorrow for a whole new episode. Come on back then. Frogpants.tv when we do it live. 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Bye.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime. Played till my fingers bled. It was the summer of 69. Me and some guys from school had a band and we tried real hard. Jimmy quit, Jody got married. I should have known we'd never get far. Oh, and I look back now. The summer seemed to last forever. And if I had the choice, yeah, I'd always wanna be there. Those were the best days of my life. Ain't no use in complaining when you got a job to do. Spent my evenings down at the drive-in, and that's where I met you. Standing on your mama's porch, you told me that you'd wait forever. Oh, when you held my hand, I knew that it was now or never. Those were the best days of my life. Oh, yeah. Back in the summer of 69. Oh yeah. Wah, 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 man, we were killing time. We were young and restless. We needed to unwind. I guess nothing can last forever. Forever, no. Look at everything that's come and gone. Sometimes when I play that old six string, I think about you when the what went wrong. Standing on your mama's porch, you told me it would last forever. Oh, the way you held my hand, I knew that it was now or never. Those were the best days of my life. In the summer of 69. Oh yeah.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Cheeseburger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, baby.